We're going to define what it means to worship in spirit and in truth. Okay? First thing, worship can only happen between a creator and a createe. We were created to worship God. What he created in Lucifer in the beginning, how many of you heard that message about the devil wants to be worshiped? Go back and listen to that. But when he created it, what he created in Lucifer in the beginning represent the sum total of what he wants from us. Now, can you imagine the devil tried to convince Jesus to bow down and worship him? After that scene, Jesus and goes and bows down and washes his disciples' feet. That must have just made the devil mad. I think that's good. Lucifer was the representation of God, no matter what quadrant of heaven, that he heard worship. When the beings in heaven saw him, Lucifer, they all knew that God wants him to receive their worship. So again, tonight we're going to talk about what it means to worship in spirit and in truth. We all know about the power twins. How many of you know about the power twins of fasting and prayer? Fasting enforces a spiritual condition called death. In Matthew 17, you all know the story. 21, the disciples were trying to cast the devil out of a young man. They had been sent out by Jesus earlier to minister and return with report that Jesus' demons are subject to us in your name. But Jesus told them to settle down. That's not what's most important. What's important is, now get this, that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Amen. That's more important than any demon bowing down to you. Now, I'm not against casting out devils, but I'm also against you finding one at every turn that you see. They're out there, don't get me wrong, but I'm just saying it's not the point is, it's not that you have authority over demons. The point is that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. But this one particular devil that they were trying to cast out just wouldn't leave. So Jesus arrives on the scene. The boy's father tells him that he brought his son to his disciples, and they could not cure him. Now, Jesus, in a mild way, he scolded them. And then he cast out the devil. Well, when they heard that, when they saw that, they were like, So they got Jesus off privately. And they said, now, why couldn't we cast out this devil? And Jesus answered them by saying, because of your unbelief. To me, that's one of the biggest challenges in the church, is because of our unbelief. Worship will help your unbelief. Many people have a hard time trying to believe. It's because the world has governed you and has established your belief system. And so you have to get that thing changed around. So they asked him privately, why couldn't we cast it out? And Jesus answered them and saying, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you would say unto this mountain, remove hence yonder. Now get this. If you had faith, the grain of a mustard seed. Now, I know you got that much faith because God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. So if you had the faith, the grain of a mustard seed, you would say, mountain, remove hence yonder. Now get this, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. So there's no problem with the power. There's enough power to move the mountain. There's no problem with God being able to move the mountain for you. So what's the problem? It's got to be with us, doesn't it? Amen. If you're here last week, we talked about that. Howbeit, this kind of what? Everybody thinks he's talking about a demon. No, this kind of unbelief goes out by how? Prayer and fasting. Hence, Jesus says, prayer and fasting have been labeled the power twins. Now, in this instance, prayer is another form of communication with God to get to know him, who he is for yourself. Anything that we do for God ought to be a communication tool to get to know who he is so that you can fellowship with him and not just know about Jesus, but begin to know who the Father truly is. Most Christians have read their Bibles very well, and they know about God, but their problem is they don't know God. Just because you know about somebody doesn't mean you really know them. You may know of them, but it doesn't mean you actually know them. So the thing is that how can we remedy this? Many Christians know about God, but very few of them know him personally. When we engage in different forms of prayer, mainly praying in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit is able to reveal God to us on a level that bypasses our human understanding and intellect. That's why I love praying in them other tongues. I don't want to know God just by his word. I want to know God by the Spirit. The Bible says it's the letter of the law killeth, but it's the Spirit that giveth life. Amen. This kind of prayer, praying in the Holy Ghost, also initiates the mortification and purging process. Now, according to Romans chapter 6, 11 through 14, Jesus provided a spiritual truth for our bodies. Now, how many of you know what a spiritual truth is? How many of you know what experiential truth is? Experiential truth is where you are currently walking regarding a positional truth. For example, I have been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Positional truth. I have been made. I will not be more righteous when I get to heaven than I am right now. You are as righteous as you ever will be. Well, Pastor, you don't know what kind of day I had. That's got nothing to do with it. Mm-hmm. See, you're being led by what you see and believe. The Bible says you have been made righteous, accepted. Amen. Now begin to get into the Bible, begin to pray in the Holy Ghost, begin to spend time with God, and find out what that means that you are righteous. It means you are in right standing with God. It means that God looks at you as though you have never sinned and that you will never sin. Now, somebody says, well, you're just giving people a license to sin. You don't need a license to sin. You're going to sin anyway. See, this kind of stuff will set you free. I may never know Jesus that Jesus has justified and made me righteous, so I'll walk well below my privileges as a child of God, experiential truth. If I never claim the promises that he gave me when I became a son of God, then I'll walk through my entire life as a Christian here on the earth without knowing the things he promised me. However, when I get to heaven and enter into the great white throne of judgment, I will instantaneously know that he provided things for me, positional truth, that I never walked in. That's why there'll be a lot of weeping and crying at that altar. The great white throne of judgment. No, it's not a bad place. It's a good place. Remember, if you get there, you made it to heaven. You made it in. But the thing is that all of your deeds will either burn up or you'll receive a reward for them. So fasting is a positional truth that my body has been placed in. But if I don't know how to enforce this positional truth through fasting, then my body will continue to tell me what to do. Romans 8:10 tells us this. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Now, there are people that are saying my body is taking control of me. My body makes me do things that I shouldn't be doing. Then you need to understand that the positional truth that God has already rendered your body, your flesh, dead. Amen. But you have to know how to enforce the spiritual position called death. Mm-hmm. One of the primary ways to enforce that spiritual position is what? Fasting. The Spirit is not alive. The Spirit is not alive, but it has life. It's not, your spirit is not alive, but it has life. It has the Zoe kind of life. It has the kind of life that's been seated in heavenly places kind of life, above all principalities and powers. Amen. That's the kind of life you have flowing in you. This is the position of authority where every believer is to rule and reign in the kingdom of God while here on the earth. Amen. The body is dead and has no authority over you. It can't make you do anything you don't want to do. Positionally, the body has no authority, if you're a Christian, has no authority to rule and reign over your spirit. But if you don't know these things, you'll sin and you'll make statements like this: the devil made me do it. How many ever heard of Flip Wilson? You dating yourself. God may have left us in these bodies for now, but positionally, he has given us the rule and reign over them. If you know how to enforce the positional truth that Jesus paid for, then you'll walk in victory even in your flesh. On the other hand, if you'll begin to fast and pray, or that you will not walk in spirit of truth, but on the other hand, if you'll begin to fast and pray, you'll build yourself up above the operation of your flesh, and you'll begin to experience answers to prayer that you prayed long time ago. And the thing you accomplish is, here's the thing you accomplish. You didn't move God. No, you finally lined up with the thing that Jesus has already paid for. In John 4:23, how many know what John 4:23 says? All right, now y'all got to get these scriptures down. Well, I'm going over this a lot of times. There you go. Jesus, in this portion of scriptures, he introduces another set of power twins called in spirit and in truth. By the way, look at that verse, and the spirit is little s. Why is it little s? Because it's our. He's talking about your new nature. He's not talking about the Holy Ghost. Many people have written books and have gotten this stuff all mixed up, and Christians have their doctrines all wrong. But the reason I point it out is you have to look at the context of this verse. The Holy Ghost, I promise you, he don't need to be taught how to worship in spirit and in truth. He already knows. Okay? In spirit is a positional truth. In other words, the Old Testament saints could not give him what you and I can give him because you have a new nature. Does everybody understand what I mean by a new nature? You have a born again spirit. You're not double natured. You don't have a bad nature and a good nature. It don't flip-flop on you every day. You have one nature, and if you're born again, it is a nature of Almighty God. You have the very same nature that Jesus Christ had when he walked the earth. The very same. So why are we struggling with so much sin? Don't shout me down now. In spirit is a positional truth. In other words, the Old Testament saints could not give him what you can because you have a new nature. The best worship for them was obeying the Ten Commandments and offering up an animal sacrifice. On the other hand, you can give him what he's already longed for over 4,000 years, the kind of fellowship that originates from the heart of a believer. You have been quickened, made alive. When you hear the word quickened, it's always referring to a spirit. When you hear resurrection, it's always referring to a physical body. But you have been quickened. You have been made alive. You have the Zoe kind of life living on the inside of you right now. Amen. Amen. You've been quickened together with him. Positional truth. Listen, there is nothing you can do to change that. Well, what if I go out and commit a terrible sin? The blood of Jesus covers it all. Amen. Now, once again, people will say, well, you're preaching a license to sin. No, people don't need a license to sin. What they need is freedom. Amen. That's what they need. They need to be taught that, listen, these things are not that in these things don't bother God at all. Now, you don't want to sin by practice, but if you find yourself in something, you repent of it and you move on. You know, I don't spend hours trying to get God to forgive me. He forgave me 2,000 years ago. So now I'm going to exercise what he's already done for me. The term "he seeketh such" means he was waiting for the first man on the earth to give him the kind of worship that he longed for since the fall of man. Who was that? Since the fall of man. since the fall of man. Who was that? Adam fell. So who gave him the worship that he's been seeking for over 4,000 years? Jesus, the second Adam. Well, y'all didn't say that. Y'all said Adam. I want to hear second Adam, if you're going to use it that way. But Jesus was the first person on the earth for over 4,000 years that could finally give God the kind of praise that he desired. Now, you and I can also give him the kind of praise that he longs for out of the very core of our being, the new nature that made you and I a son of God. How many of you remember the story about Chuck the Duck? Y'all didn't remember the story about Chuck the Duck? Oh, I don't know if I got time or not, but I'm going to say it real quick. There was this farmer that found this goose egg, and he put this egg under this hen so it would hatch. So when this egg hatched, this little small goose was raised by this mother hen. All his life, he didn't know anything about being a duck. All he knew about was being a chicken. So he went around this yard, this farm, being a chicken. He'd scratch, he'd pluck, he'd do all these things. Then one day, they went down by the pond, and man instinctively, he just took off running and dove right in. Put his head under the water, began to swim around, and he was having a good time. And his mama's on the bank going, "Get out of there, get out." She's just a flapping her wings. He got out of there, man, and she said, she spanked his little da-da. She tanned him good, said, "Don't you ever do that again. You are a chicken, you are not a duck." Okay, mama. Well, the next night he just couldn't resist. He snuck off, went down to that pond again, and he's down there swimming around while his brothers and sisters were asleep. So he's sitting down, he's down there swimming in his pond, and a flock of geese just come flying in, whoosh, and landed right by him. And they said, "Hello, duck." And Chuck said, "I'm not a duck, I'm a chicken." And the geese said, they just laughed at him and said, "You a duck, man." He said, "No, I'm a chicken." He said, "Man, look at your reflection in the water. It looks just like us." And finally, Chuck went, "Maybe I am a duck." Now, remember, Chuck's been taught how to be a chicken all his life. Sound familiar? You were raised in the world all of your life. You get born again. You get a new nature. Why was Chuck diving in that water? Because that was his nature. That was his nature to swim. So finally, those ducks said, "Chuck, do something for us. Put your wings out and just start flapping like this." And Chuck did that, man. He raised up off that water, and he wasn't used to this, so he didn't know how to sustain it, so he fell back in that water, splash. They said, "Don't worry about it, Chuck. Do it again." And Chuck began to flap his wings, and he began to fly. And he flew all over that barnyard. He flew all over that pond and everything and came back and landed, man, and where those ducks were. And they said, "So now you realize you a duck, right?" So Chuck says, "Lord Duck, I just want to thank you. You finally told me who I truly was. You finally helped me identify who I truly am. Now, Lord Duck, how can I worship you?" And Lord Duck, as he left flying, he said, "Fly, Chuck, fly." Amen. And that's who we were. Amen. We were just like that duck. We didn't know who we were. We were trying to earn God's favor by our works, and God was trying to tell us, "No, you already have my favor. All you have to do is just receive it by grace, the way Chuck, when he flapped those arms and began to fly. Yes, you might have a little bit of fall every now and then, until you learn how to live by grace. But we can learn by spending time with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, spending time with the Holy Ghost, and let him teach us how to live like a born-again child of God." So the whole point about the Chuck the Duck is we now have the same nature that God has. And he wants to realize that we should no longer be acting like the world acts regarding our testings and trials, but rather, now I'm going to say this, it's going to shock you. Instead of you worshiping your tests and trials, spend time worshiping God.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. I see Christians all the time. "What's going on, brother?" "Oh, Pray for me, brother. The devil is on my case again. Oh, my brother. Oh, you know, I'm living right, so the devil's after me. You worshiping your problems. You worshiping your circumstances. You're full of turmoil and fear. Anxiety. And those things, you were not designed to carry those things around. Let's talk about this phrase, in truth. Fasting brings the power of God. In a similar way, worship ushers in the presence of God. Because the human race inherited spiritual death from Adam, the Father could not fellowship with the Old Testament way, the Old Testament saints, the way he can with us. He had to pull up short because of the fallen nature within him. The same in the case of truth. He could not give them the truth. How is somebody going to be able to bear truth when you tell them that thou shalt not covet, thou shalt not do these things, and they do them? How are they going to be able to bear the truth? They couldn't. You know why? They had a fallen nature. Now, we're going to talk about this law here next week. Do you know what the law was designed for? What was it designed for? It was to show you that you couldn't keep it. That's all it was there for. Man, I hear people preaching on the law. Listen, all the law was for is to tell you that you couldn't keep it. Now, there are people that still try to keep the Ten Commandments. And the thing is this, they're living far below their privileges. You were not designed to keep the Ten Commandments. When you love the Lord thy God with all of your heart and with all of your soul, and you love your neighbor as yourself, that's how you know you love the Lord thy God with all your heart, when you can love your neighbor as yourself. Did you hear me now? When you can love. See, God's not concerned about how you treat me when it comes to me. Mm-mm. He's only concerned how I treat you. Amen. Now, I may come to God and say, God, did you see what that guy said? You hear what he said? God says, yeah, I heard it. What of it? I say, God, that's not right. He says, what are you going to do about it? I say, well, I want to get back at him. He says, well, you're on the wrong track. Mm-hmm. See, in this kingdom, we love, son. We forgive. We turn the other cheek. Mm-hmm. Now, what do you think would happen to the body of Christ if we could begin to start loving that way? Huh? How many miracles could we see? How much power of God could be released on the earth? Let me get back to my lesson. They could not inherit the promise, even though they were heirs. Because we now have a new nature, one that is just like God's, we now have the capacity to become and understand truth. Because you have a new nature, you now have the capacity to understand and discern truth. The Old Testament saints didn't have a capacity to do this, to understand and discern truth. They could not keep the law. They could not keep the Ten Commandments. Whenever they attempted to do so, it would set the motions of sin into action that dwell within them. The evil that was present within them, what was the evil present that was in them? The sin nature, the fallen nature in them, would war against the law, the Ten Commandments, and their minds, and bring them into captivity to the law of sin and death, which was in their members, Romans chapter 7, in case you want to check me out. The evil that they would try not to do is the very thing they would end up doing. In contrast, even though we are tempted, the flesh no longer has power to rule and reign over us. Unless we permit it. Mm-hmm. Well, Brother Craig, I tried not to sin. You didn't try very hard. Sin has no dominion over you. Amen. For the body of sin has been destroyed. Sin has no dominion Amen. Over you. Hallelujah. This is the very reason, because of that sin nature, this is the very reason why they didn't have the capacity to understand and become truth. Now, hang on to that. I'm going to teach you something about that in just a minute. Now, we as born-again children of God, we can worship him in spirit because there's a rapport between his nature and ours. Isn't that wonderful to know that I got a rapport with God? That is a positional truth. I have a rapport with God. Pastor, they just told me that I got 6 months to live. Rejoice! And you may think, Pastor, you want them to die? I didn't say that. Mm-hmm. I want them to live. Amen. But they're not going to live dwelling on their tests and trials. Exactly. They're going to live if they'll begin to rejoice. Amen. And again, I say rejoice. Hallelujah. And James, it says, it counted all joy when you fall into divers tests, trials, and temptation, knowing that the trying of your faith works patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and lacking nothing. What's the lacking here? My healing. Amen. Well, I'm not going to get it doing it your way. But I sure got a good chance of getting it if I count it all joy. Amen. Well, Pastor, they're going to call me crazy if I go out and rejoicing. They called Billy Graham crazy. Listen, did y'all hear the View the other day? They said if you speak to God and he talks to you, that you got a mental problem. Well, bless God, I guess you ought to put me in a straitjacket, send me to the nearest institution, because I talk to God all the time, and he talks back to me. And I'm not ashamed of it either. No, I'm not some spiritual kook, but I have communication with God. If I find a child of God that says, I have never heard from God, come here. There's something wrong with you. Well, why you say that, Pastor? Because Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. He said, my sheep hear my voice. And a voice of a stranger, they will not follow. See, he hears me. I know his voice. Now, here's the thing. Where the world gets confused, they think it's an audible voice. Well, he does talk to me audibly, but all the time. He leads me by, what's the first way God leads his people? Inward witness. Man, if I go to Walmart and pick up a laptop and put it under my shirt and try to walk out from there to the front door, I'm going to hear this. You better stop. Better put that down. You ain't got to finish doing that. Now, I can bypass that voice, and I get to the door, and these guys with these guns on their hips say, come here. And I'll say, God, why didn't you stop me? He said, I tried to for the last 2 or 3 minutes you walking out the store. I tried to stop you. See, the thing is, you got to be able to hear the voice of God. It's a witness. And that witness is going to tell me what you're doing is not right. What you're doing is not right. And if you'll learn to yield to that and say, God, forgive me, how can I correct that? That's being led by the Spirit of God. Now, we have the capacity to understand and discern spiritual truths, discern spiritual attributes of God. We now have the capacity to discern and understand truth, unlike the Old Testament saints. Now we can begin to worship him out of that truth, which is who he is. For example, we all know that Jesus said that we could speak to the mountains and that they would obey us. Is that right? We now have the capacity to worship him that the mountains in our lives can be moved. Amen. Now, I would suggest you do this. Worship him until the mountain is removed. Amen. Don't just worship him with Miss Vivian and Loranda. Amen. Now, don't get me wrong. That's good worship. Mm-hmm. But you worship him when you're going home at night. You're driving in your car, you worship him. Amen. You know, when you pull in your driveway, you worship him. Amen. When you're going down that dark street and you don't know what's down there, you worship him. Amen. You learn to worship him even in a tough time. Amen. You learn to give him praise. Amen. We now have the capacity to worship him that the mountains in our life will be moved. It is no longer just head knowledge, but it's something we have to come to believe because we worship him out of that truth. Now, here's what I'm saying by that. The Bible says that by his stripes you worship. Okay. Some people say, I am healed. No, you were healed. So if I've got the flu, which I had, I think, 3 weeks ago. I get in my bedroom. I give you praise. I worship you. I magnify you. I glorify you for the flu. No. I give you praise that by your stripes I was healed. I just worship you and magnify you and glorify you and honor you. Well, Pastor, you ain't doing nothing. I'm releasing the grace of God out of my life from God onto the flu. I'm doing far more than a flu shot would do, honey. Ain't nothing wrong with taking your flu shot. But that works a whole lot better. Amen. We now have the capacity to worship him that the mountains in our lives can be moved. Now it's no longer just head knowledge. It's something we come to believe because we worship him out of that truth. All the while our mind is telling us this is impossible. You ever been there? You see something, you're like, this is almost impossible. That's the right time to worship. Amen. Throw up your hands and begin to give him praise. Worship him out of what truth? That praise be unto God, who always causes me to triumph. I give you praise. You're causing me to triumph in this impossible situation. Praise be unto you. I worship you. I magnify you. I've been made righteous and justified. I give you praise. And the thing is this, you can't praise him for 4 or 5 minutes and then roll over and think about your problems. You got to keep worshiping him. Amen. Until one day, here's what will happen. You will believe with all of your heart, meaning your heart, your new nature, and your mind, your soul, your will all be working in unison. See, this is the problem that most Christians have. You got your mind saying, yes, I agree. But when the pressure of life comes, all of a sudden it goes, I can't agree. Amen. Well, how do you shut that thing down? Spend time worshiping God. Amen. Just worship God. Just worship God. Yes. Just worship God. If you want to get loud, get loud. You don't have to get loud, but you can get loud as you want. Man, sometimes I had to just drown that thing out on the inside of me. I had to just get loud where I couldn't hear it. Amen. And now I can just, I said, go. I said, get. Do you hear me? Amen. Why? I've become establishing in that stuff. And you will too. Amen. But now, it is not just writing on a page. It's something that has become very real as your own name. Out of worship, we can come to the place where we couldn't believe it to be the place that we now can. It will come to believe. It'll be the place that we can now believe that he is not a man that he can lie. Amen. He has exalted his word above his own name. Amen. What seemed impossible to the unrenewed mind is now possible to you. Amen. Because I now have the capacity, a new nature, to believe and understand. That's what it means in spirit. Today, we are capable of truth and realize that he is the one that said the mountains could be moved. When we worship him out of this truth, which is who he is, he will come to the place, we will come to the place where we believe it, and we will no longer stagger at the promises through unbelief. Amen. Now, next week, I'm going to talk about Abraham. Abraham. The Bible says he considers not his own body, neither the deadness of Sarah's womb, when she was past the childbearing years. But you know how he got through his dilemma? He grew strong in faith. You know how he grew strong in faith? Giving glory to God. Woo-hoo! Private worship, I'm telling you. Today we are capable of truth and realize that he is the one that said the mountain should be moved. Oh, I'm sorry. Through worship, you arrive at what was once impossible to no longer being impossible. So there must be a way for me to get to the place where I believe with all of my heart. He has written his laws in my heart. He makes me capable of walking out his truths. Whenever the truths he has given me in a word, and if I will simply begin to worship him in that truth of it, I will arrive to the place where I'll arrive from the place where I didn't believe to the place that I do.
Amen.
Just do worshiping him.
Amen.
Now, could this be any more simpler? Could this be any more simpler? Well, then why isn't every church in every corner teaching something like this? This is all it takes. And listen, you're communing with God. You're fellowshipping with God. That's what he wants from you. Whenever the truths he has given me in the word, whatever the truths he has given me in the word, if I will simply begin to worship him in the truth of it, I will arrive at the place where I didn't believe, from the place where I didn't believe to the place where I now do. Why? Because the new nature has put me in reach of it, and the pathway of worship will cause me to believe it.
Yes.
It's a direct pathway, folks.
Amen.
You can't miss it.
Mm-hmm.
But now you can't watch television all night long and then worship him for about 30 minutes and think that's going to cut it.
Mm-hmm.
The wisdom of Solomon is a type and shadow of what the new nature is capable of. As wise as Solomon was, he ended up worshiping the idols of his wives and concubines.
Mm-hmm.
He was a type and shadow of what we are capable of when we worship God in spirit and in truth. That's why God put him in the Bible. To worship him in truth means I have the capacity to do all the things that he said I could do. Now, let me ask you a question. If he gave Solomon all that wisdom, and he never gave another man that wisdom, would he not be a respecter of persons? He cannot be a respecter of persons. So now, if he gave it to Solomon, why aren't we walking in that kind of wisdom? Because we are telling ourselves how we don't have that wisdom, and we sure wish we had the wisdom of Solomon. What you ought to be telling yourself is walk in the floor and say, God, I thank you that I have the wisdom of Solomon available to me within the sound of my voice.
Amen.
The Bible says that you have been made wisdom. And we ran around here talking about the wisdom of Solomon. The wisdom of Solomon, you got Solomon's wisdom. The same source that he got it from, you have the exact same source.
Amen.
You know what the difference is now? Your unrenewed mind won't allow you to receive it. If you go over in the book of James, it'll talk about two kinds of wisdom, earthly wisdom and wisdom that comes down from above. Most Christians, they like sensual wisdom. Wisdom that's devilish is what the Bible says in that same portion of Scripture.
Mm-hmm.
And most Christians don't. If wisdom were to come to you and you're not familiar with what wisdom is, you'll just spit at it because you don't think that's God.
Amen.
You have to be in a position to receive it. What am I talking about? Private worship.
Amen.
Private worship will put you in a position to receive the wisdom of God. To worship him in truth means I have the capacity to do all the things that he said I could do. There is a part of my spirit that is in range to not only discern and understand the truths of God, but to end up believing it. And all I have to do is spend time worshiping him.
Amen.
That's all I got to do. That's all you got to do. It'll take you to a place where nothing is impossible to him that believes. We can do what he said, and not to do these things would mean one thing. You don't think you should worship him in spirit and in truth. The hour now is when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. The Father has waited out the dispensations to receive this kind of worship from his sons and daughters. He now has a family that is within range to believe what he says so he can do what he promised he would do.
Amen.
We are within that range. And all we have to do is to go there and worship and spend time giving him praise. Mm-hmm. Glory to God. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. Can it be any simpler than that? Mm-hmm. Just whatever you're going through, think about your biggest problem tonight. Mm-hmm. And begin to say, Father, you can ask him this. Give me a verse of scripture that addresses that problem. Now, once you get that scripture from him, you may find it on a signpost when you're driving home. You may find it highlighted in somebody else's Bible. God can talk to you in various of ways. But when the scripture that you see addresses your problem, here is your posture. You go home and I like to lay down when I worship God. I can worship him when I'm driving. I can worship him when I'm sitting still. But I like to just lay back and worship God. I like to get comfortable. And I think he likes when I'm comfortable too. He don't mind. You know, I always was taught this, that you got to stand up to be able to commune with God. Where is that written in the Bible? It's not in there. It's like somebody says, but Pastor Craig, you know, when you commit suicide, you can't go to heaven. I said, well, show me that in the Bible. He says, just show me in the Bible where it says that. Well, it says murderers. Okay, well, that's a stretch, but okay, if you say so. But the point is, if it's not in the Word of God, we shouldn't be teaching it. Yes, ma'am.
It talks about David laying on
his bed. There you go. And David was a worshiper. Amen. So if I were you, I'd go home and I'd find that scripture. And I would personalize that scripture. And I would begin to say, let's say, for example, you're going through some, I'll use one real. A guy the other day told me, he says, Pastor, he says, pray for me. I want a new job. I'm sick and tired of these people while I work at. I've had it with them. And he says, now, Pastor, don't you tell me about how they're not going to have any light at that place because I'm out of there. I said, well, I won't. But now here's what I want to tell him. The same devil that you left at that place, you're going to run right into him walking to your new cubicle. See, they don't leave. They're on assignments, man. Now here's the thing. So what I would do is I would say, now, Father, I'm believing God for the love of God in my heart. Because, see, God's not concerned how those people are treating that guy I just told you about. No, 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 no. God's concerned how he is treating them.
Amen.
God ain't going to talk to you about their behavior. He's going to talk to you about your behavior. How you doing? What you doing about this? You loving them? You forgiving them? You turn the other cheek? You blessing them? You praying for them? You doing all those things for them? Now, and you can't pray like this. God, if you just have to bless them. But I really don't want you to bless them. But you bless them if you want to. That ain't, no. That don't work. But you got to get in your prayer closet. And you got to begin to say something like this. Father, I give you praise that you forgave me. So I forgive these people that are coming against me. Now, Father, it's difficult for me to praise you this way, but I know if I'll continue to praise you, I'll become the love of God. I'll become what you said about forgiving them, turn the other cheek, blessing them. You'll make me into that if I'll begin to give you praise for it. Now, it won't be long. This is a story I have from a guy named Gary Carpenter. He had a guy that he tried to love on, and the guy just didn't like him. And they were neighbors, and he never liked the guy. They never got along. And so one day, he was like, God, what am I going to do about this neighbor of mine? He said, well, give him your truck. Now, Dave had a nice old truck that he fixed up, and it was just, you know, his truck. And God said, give him your truck. And Dave quickly responded, not Dave, but Gary, Gary quickly responded with, what truck? Here was Gary's prayer. Father, teach me how to be willing to forgive him. He prayed that prayer. God, I'm not willing, but I'm willing to be willing if you'll make me willing to forgive them. He prayed that way for about 5 days. And before he knew it, he was saying, Father, I thank you. You can make me willing to be willing to forgive him. Mm-hmm. Then about 5 days later, he says, Father, I'm willing to forgive them.
Amen.
Father, I forgive him.
Amen.
See, sometimes you got to worship God. Mm-hmm. To do what? To renew your unrenewed mind.
Mm-hmm.
See, your unrenewed mind will tell you that you can't do it.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll fight you. And if you don't understand how to do war in the realm of the spirit, your unrenewed mind will win. Your unrenewed mind has no authority over you. None whatsoever. But it's going to try to exercise its right if you don't understand your spiritual position and your spiritual authority. In Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Did you get anything tonight? Begin to worship God. Begin to continue to give him praise. Make it a lifestyle. You know, the thing is that I am trying to spend more time worshiping him, even outside of my personal worship time. You know? And, you know, the other day, I think I told y'all this. I said that God, take every bit of bitter water out of me. And I only want a brook of sweet water.
Amen.
And I got that out of the book of James. Can a brook bring forth both bitter and sweet waters? Well, when you get around a Christian and he does you wrong, did all of a sudden those bitter waters just show up? No, they were already there. You just didn't notice them. But the bottom line is, God wants to purge all of us of all the bitter water that's within us. Amen?
Amen.
Father, we give you praise for tonight. We worship you and magnify you. We glorify and honor your name. We bless your name. We give you the kind of praise that only people with the new nature can give you.
Yes.
Father, we thank you that we have the capacity and that we are in range to do exactly what you said we could do. You're not a respecter of persons. You'll give us the wisdom that Solomon had as we give you praise and as we give you glory. There'll be an exchange that takes place, and the grace of God will be released on every problem that we have. So we give you praise. Father, I pray over this nation, and I declare mercy over the United States of America. Father, I pray that the church, I pray for mercy over the church. The judgment shall begin at the house of God. Let the church get its act together before the judgment begins. Father, we give you praise for another good night. We give you all the glory. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen.